Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What's up, anals? And by anals, of course, we mean Asian Not Asian listeners. Welcome back to the podcast. This is Asian Not Asian podcast, where two Asian guys not from Asia talk about American issues no Americans care about. I am your host, Fumi Abe.
And I'm Mike Nguyen.
We're coming at you live from Brooklyn, New York. And if you're listening to this on your phones right now, please take a screenshot, post it on Instagram stories, tag us at Asian.AsianPod, and we'll regram it. We love it when you do that. And also, check out our Patreon if you want bonus content. And one thing we do on the Patreon is if you donate, we always give a shout out to our newest members on the latest episode. So this week, first, we got to give a shout out to our $50 a month contributor,
producer,
Ryan
right?
Coggs. Producer, once again, if you donate $50 a month, you become a producer. So thank you, Ryan. tell us what you do for a living, because I don't know how. This is some big dick energy, big dick podcast energy right here. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah,
then the three newest members are, this person didn't give a last name, but her name is Trish, T-R-I-S-H, which is typically an Irish name.
Is it?
But we don't, I feel like okay. Trisha, maybe.
Trish.
We got an Irish person.
Then
we got
this person.
Yeah. Top of the mall. That's not. Is that Irish or is that British? They're close. They used to
that's
be
true.
One until
well,
the original Briggs that happened. Hey, yep. What's that terrorist group? Is it called IRA?
Irish Republican Army. Hey, well, you can't call them terrorists. Maybe they're terrorists.
Oh shit! I can't say that. Are they gonna shoot me? Yeah, they don't. Those guys don't cancel. They just straight up bomb or whatever.
Yeah, they just
so that's
bomb
fine.
You, dude. So
yeah.
Top of the morning to you.
Top of the morning to you, terrorist association. Then we got Gabrielle Ferrer H. Sorry, F-E-R-R-E-R. That is Spanish, but we know that when it sounds Spanish, they are, in fact, Filipino.
Oh, so interesting. Person. I feel this is but this is like almost like Argentinian. Like, I want to say this person's like South American, really. You know?
Okay. Which country, though? You got to pick one.
I'm going to say Argentine. Why not?
You're an Argentinian Asian. Thank you so much
Shouts.
For your money. And lastly, we have Cameron Sun Becker.
Was this a dude who was at the hang last night? That was another guy.
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, Sun, S-U-N, that sounds kind of Korean. I had a Korean friend named Sun once.
That could be a Korean. That's a Korean name. Becker.
This is like half Korean, half white person. Cameron,
sounds
you're half
so
God,
hot.
We're so good at this game. My
yeah,
God.
Yeah, we're so good at this game. This guy has a six pack for sure. So
for sure. And
thanks for giving us that money.
Thank you for your money. And again, if you want us to guess your ethnicity by your last name, a very problematic game, please go to patreon.com/asian.asianpod and give us your money, and we'll do that. This week's theme, what I want to discuss is starting from the bottom, now we're here, Asian. This is a little thing I want to talk about up top, okay? Recently, I was watching, I recently got into this anime. I know I talk about anime a lot on here. I recently got into this anime called My Hero Academia. Okay, it's very popular anime. If you're
that
like, I don't
awesome.
Know what the fuck you're talking about, you're a fucking loser. Okay, because it's so popular right now. And I'm not just bringing it up because I like it. I feel that it's very relevant to my life right now.
Okay.
Basically, the premise of the show is that it's a parallel universe. It's like Earth in the future, where like 90% of the people on the planet are born with like mutations, kind of like X-Men. Like they can like, you know, they're pyrokinetics, or they can like control water or whatever it is. But it gets a little crazy. Like some people have like exhaust pipes in their thighs, so they can like run faster and shit. Like it gets a little wild.
Yeah,
it's crazy. And so, and because of that, becoming a superhero is an actual profession. You can go to school, and they have like different offices. Like you can apply to be a superhero and work for different companies.
Yeah,
so this is like
a
world where there's like villains, and you can get paid to be a professional hero. And the main character, his name is Deku, and all he wants since he was a kid is to be a superhero. But when he's like 7, he finds out from his doctor that he is part of the 10% of the population who... In the anime they call quirkless, like he doesn't have a quirk, he has no mutation, and so therefore he can never be by definition, he can never be a superhero. This thing he wanted to be his entire life.
Gotcha.
And then the story is about him ultimately becoming a superhero despite the fact he has no superpower.
Yes.
And... So, you know what, bro? I'm going to get a little emo right now. I feel that way in comedy sometimes, you know? I feel that way in comedy, dude.
That
I
you
feel
have, like that I, you have no powers or talents?
I have I have no star power. Like, I have zero star power, and all my friends are, like, you know, blasting energy balls from their fists and fucking, you know, doing flying and levitating and turning into dragons, you know? And I'm just, like, a straight Asian guy with... I'm a corkless comedian. I'm up there.
Your thing, your power, I would say, if anything, is making spreadsheets. That's really your thing.
Yes!
You have so many spreadsheets. Too many. But I don't know why. I used to think that you were really organized, and then I was like, man, Fumi's so organized. I gotta be as organized as him. And then I go into our Dropbox folder, and there are so many folders in there, just a mess of folders. You're just like, you're like, you know what? I don't know. I can't think of a joke right now, so I'm gonna make another folder for that. Bam.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, there's so many folders. That's your jam. I get it.
Dude, when I'm not feeling creative, I make folders in Dropbox. That's kind of
you
what
just
I
nest the shit like crazy. Your organization, man. Yeah. I like this.
And the reason why I bring it up is because this is the first time I'm talking about it on the podcast, which I think I'm allowed to talk about. But I recently got a job. I got a real comedy writing job with James Corden, and which is, like, you know, a pretty big deal for me. For me personally, just because, like, when I first started, I never imagined I could get a gig like this.
And to be clear, you are a writer on the show. That's what we mean.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I'm not like a janitor.
No. Because you could be a writer for James Corden, and you're just like, I'm just doing one of his side things. You know? You're a writer on what's the name? Is it The Late Late Show?
Yeah, Late Late Show. I'm writing his monologue jokes, and there's a bunch of us. And then I'm also, like, coming up with game ideas that he can play with guests and stuff.
Fire.
And then
congrats, man. Congrats.
Thank you. But, like, even you know, so, like, I'm, like, with these professional writers now, and even when I have the job and I'm, like, in the fucking room, I still feel quirkless, you know? Because the thing with Deku, he eventually gets into a school where they train professional heroes.
Yeah.
And he still feels, because, like, he comes into some sort of power by this weird thing that happens, which I don't want to spoil for anybody, but he gets into the school for superheroes, the best one, and he still feels like he doesn't belong there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like I just relate really hard to this 15-year-old fake Japanese boy, I guess. Is the point
I definitely feel this is just like a cool way of doing. First of all, I love you for animes. You had me at academia. Okay, you know how much I love school. I'm thinking about getting a master's degree in history. I love school. So as soon as you said academia, I was like, yes, I'm in.
Schools, I'm in.
School. Is there an answer? Yes, I'm in. So I love that. And I love the idea that, because what this has done is this has kind of just, like, anime-ized the whole, like, what's it called? You know, imposter syndrome, right? The ultimate imposter syndrome, where you literally don't have any superpowers. And now now you feel like that because you're in this this room or the writing room or whatever. So I think it's cool. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But I'm trying to, like, I think one thing I'm trying to do, and I think I don't know if I'm doing this because I'm older, but, like, I think if I got this, like, 5 years ago in my 20s, I would have, like, obviously still have imposter syndrome, but I wouldn't really, like, tell people about it, or I'd be kind of humble about it because I'd be like, oh, like, they can fire me literally at any moment. But now I'm just like, I understand they could fire me at any moment, but I feel like there's just so much shit in pursuing entertainment that, like, you really have to, like, celebrate your little wins. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, so, this, like, is a big win. Yeah, I mean,
this is a big win. And even if my... And even if I get, because my contract is only 13 weeks, even if I get fired in 13 weeks, it's still a big win.
You got it.
You know, in terms of...
They can't take that away. They, I realize now that the reason why you don't understand a lot of my references is because I keep referencing things like you might learn in college, like Marx. And I really should be referencing things that are related to anime. So, yes. You know, so really, I think of you, I get what you're saying with My Hero Academia here, but I also think you're really like One Punch Man because,
I've got hair though.
Here's the thing. Yeah, you do have hair. I look like One Punch Man, but you are like One Punch Man because you did the thing where you're like, I'm going to do 1,000. What is it? He does like 1,000 pushups a day and 1,000 squats and runs or whatever. And because you did the thing. You were telling me before, and we're about to talk about this, is that like the other people aren't stand-up comics. And stand-up comedy, in my mind, is like the MMA of comedy. It's like the most brutal. it's like 1,000 pushups a day, 1,000 squats. Running 10 miles, you know, you're not going to UCB and doing ha 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 improv, we're all going to make it. No. Stand up is horrible and messy, and you did that for however long, and so that's why now you're there. So you're like One Punch Man, you know? I'm mixing my metaphors.
That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
See?
That, you know what's crazy? I bet somebody that's like some, like, I bet someone said that at like some nerd couple's wedding, you know, like the best man speech.
You're like One Punch Man.
You're like One Punch Man. And people are like, oh.
Everyone's crying.
Yeah. For sure, this has happened.
Yeah.
But anyways, I wanted to talk about this with our guest today because I know he's a huge fan of this anime, but also a very funny stand-up comedian. And he's literally somebody I met when I like first started. We like came up together, so, you know. And I saw him when I was coming up. I saw him as somebody with a quirk. You know, he was the guy who was like exploding shit on stage. Even when he's bombing, he's still exploding shit, you know? And he's like Alex. I'm like, Alex, the show is over. He's still blowing shit up
on
stage.
He's still blowing stuff
up.
He can't stop. He can't help it.
So this dude coming up, so funny, a dear friend of mine. You can see his comedy on All Deaf Comedy, which is on HBO or HBO Max if you have it. And he's got this amazing album, comedy album called Finally Defined, available on Spotify.
He also looks like One Punch Man. So hey, we got.
He also looks like One Punch Man, 100%. So guys, give it up for Alex, aka Saitama Babbitt, baby.
Oh man, guys, I can't lie to you. I think that was the greatest introduction I've ever gotten. But like, I enjoyed everything leading up to it. That was fucking great. What's up? How you doing?
What's up, man? Thanks for coming on the show, buddy.
No problem. I've actually genuinely been a big fan of this podcast for a very long time, so I'm very happy to be a part of it.
I know you, when our producer reached out to you, she was like, hey, could you do this show? And you responded, about fucking time.
Yeah. Because you know what it is? I like very few people genuinely, and I like you guys. So I would watch y'all post your podcast and be like, you know what? Don't ask. Just wait. Just wait.
Just wait.
Y'all would do real cool shit, and like I'd buy ramen. I would buy Asian shit and just post it sometimes, hoping Fumi saw it and was like, you know what? He's earned it. Like,
yeah. You keep posting about anime, like, hey, you know, just putting it out there, you know, just this is it. Tagging us as slyly in the comments.
Bamboo steamer just to try to get on this podcast.
Damn, steamer. Alex, we wanted to pass our little story of the week on to you. You know, do you relate to that character in My Hero Academia and sort of the thing I just talked about?
Yes.
You know, feeling quirkless sometimes or whatever.
You've seen a lot of it?
Yeah, so if you do visual, I believe you guys do,
we do,
right?
Yeah,
so,
we do YouTube.
Yeah, so people looking behind me, I have three pieces right behind me.
That's Bakugo?
Yeah, so that's Bakugo, but it's 3D lenticular art. So if you were actually in here... Or if that's moved my camera, it turns into Deku and Bakugo, Deku and Todoroki, the fire and ice guy.
Oh, the fire guy, yeah.
And
yeah.
Just like that, right now it looks like Vegeta, but it turns into Vegeta, Goku, and Goku Black. I'm a big fan of anime, big fan of the show. It was interesting hearing what you said about you feeling like Deku, like kind of quirkless. Because I relate to Deku in a different way. It's not that I feel quirkless. I just feel like I'm working harder than I want to work, but I'm only working hard because I'm around so many dope people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes, I get that.
Yeah.
So like I watch you guys. I watch different comedians. So I'm big fans of, and I'm just like, all right, I gotta earn my keep because I'm in this school full of fucking dope ass superheroes. I can't be the only one not doing shit. I refused, like, and that's kind of what drives me or where I relate. And then, you know, sometimes in my down moments, I'm just like, God damn it, all these guys are naturally cooler.
Oh, wow.
I feel that way a lot more than people would think. I think everybody around me is way cooler and I work very hard to accomplish it. And I'd be like, Jesus Christ, is it working? I don't know, but
well, I mean, I'm sure Fumi will tell you, but when we see you at shows, I'm like, shit, I got to bring all of my shit now in order to, you know what I'm saying? Because I see you, you're using your energy beam to blowing up roofs and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know, and I'm just doing body weight squats, like a lot of body weight squats. And I'm hoping that I can bring my thing to you, you know, because I think that's the thing about stand-up is that, like, when you do stand-up or you do a lot of projects, you only see the end result, you know? You only see, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to kill for 10 minutes or whatever, or 15 minutes. You didn't see all the shit I had to do, the sweating and all the doubt and all this other shit you had to do, you know what I'm saying? So it looks like I have, you know, people have a lot of talent, but then it's just like, I was just doing the push-ups, you know?
Yeah, you know, and I get that, man, because in the same way you think of my energy beams, like, oh, yeah, this guy's just fun-loving. Dude, I have bombed my way into like, town. Like,
into the energy beams. You bombed your way into the energy beams.
Yeah, I had to explode alone first. Like, you know what I mean? It didn't just come out perfectly. Like, I was just sweating and blew up by mistake, and I was like, all right, well, try not to kill your family this time. You know what I mean? it's learning lessons.
Oh, my God. Well, Alex, we're so glad you're here. I wanted to talk about this first because if you're watching the YouTube video, by the way, we have a YouTube channel, so check it out. Just Google or YouTube Asian.Asian Podcast. We're on there. You have a lot of, you know, anime and cartoon posters in your room. You're a big fan. I feel like you've always been, since I've known you, and we've talked about this in person before, but like, you're like a little bit younger than me. Actually, you're like quite younger than me, right? Like 5 years, maybe?
I'm 26.
Okay, so you're like, shit, yeah, 5, really? 6 years younger than me.
Yeah.
You fucking started stand-up when you were like 16 or something like that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's awesome. Because when I met you, I remember you were like 20 or 21 or something like that. But I wanted to ask you, like, because when I was in high school, anime... But I also went to like a white high school, and like anime was not, it was not cool. And I wanted to ask you, like, was anime always cool? Because you grew up in Brooklyn and New York, and I'm like, because New York is always 10 years ahead of Ohio, you know. And so like, I'm just wondering, like, could you show this to your friends when you were in high school, or did you get into anime recently, or like?
I had to get like a girl first. Like, I had to get. You got to make sure you get pussy before you go full nerd.
Yes.
Like, if you go full nerd before you can get girls, it doesn't work. It's not a good. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's not as appealing. I can still be cool in places, and it's like, you know what? I kind of like anime guys. You know what I mean? Like, I weave it into it. Like,
I love the idea that like you're out there, you're like spitting game on someone, and you're but in the back of your mind, you're like, man, dude, I hope I get laid so I can talk about Dragon Ball. Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna get this pussy so I can talk about anime though.
It's all just for that, yo. You just want to be comfortable. So when I was in school, like, for sure, you know, I don't want to speak on all of the black culture, but for sure, like, the people I was around and like my older brothers, I had hood older brothers and different people who everybody loves Dragon Ball Z. Like, that's a staple.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys would consider Pokemon an anime, because it's loosely.
Right.
But Pokemon is a big thing. I used to watch, like, me and my best friends growing up, we used to love Yu-Gi-Oh! Like, you know what I mean?
Damn, dude. Yeah. Blue Eyes White Dragon? You
Blue
have me.
Eyes White Dragon. Blue Eyes Dragon. In the projects trying to summon... Nothing funnier than two Puerto Rican kids and a black kid with a dual disc in the project staircase throwing cards on the floor.
Yeah. What was the other one? Like something black magician or something like that?
It was a Blue Eyes White Dragon and the Dark Magician and dark Red magician. Eyes Black Dragon. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know any of these things. It sounds like you guys are selling drugs. Okay. If that's what it sounds like to me.
Blue eyed white dragon and
the
black magician.
The blue eyes white.
Give me some of that. Give me some of that black dragon, man.
Oh my god. I almost wish you guys were talking about drugs. You're talking about Yu-Gi-Oh? Oh, Jesus.
Damn. But, dude, that's so true about, like, how you gotta be cool before you show your nerdy side, because it's funny because a lot of times, and I think a lot of, like, I talk about this with Mike all the time, but, you know, I live in Crown Heights, and I see a lot of, like, cool-looking dudes, like, wearing Jordan and, like a Naruto headband or whatever. but you know, like, you know, people like Megan Thee Stallion will, like, drop, like, lyrics about, like, Sasuke and Naruto in her rap. But it's, like... people already thought she was cool, so it's extra cool right. that she is confident enough to show off that she watches Naruto. Yes. But if she didn't rap and was just working at Wendy's and was just talking about Sasuke,
you know what I mean?
You'd be like, "What? Get the fuck out of here!" You know?
So weird. That's... What's wrong with it?
How did you? Yeah. Go ahead. No.
What were you about to say?
I wanted to know a little bit more about how you got into it, and then because I think with Dragon Ball, that was like something you could see in a lot of like on cable and stuff like that. But then how did you start getting more into the culture, you know?
So for sure it was my go-tos was Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon when I was a kid. And I'm a big Power Ranger fan. It'll feed into it. I found out from being a Power Ranger fan about like Super Sentai, which is just like what the Japanese version of the exact same show. So like I found out about that. And then, you know, from talking to, I have two older brothers, from talking to them, they're really in anime, you know what I mean? So yeah, like extremely. So they started telling me, especially over the last like maybe 5 years, they would just start telling me about more animes that shit like Baki, One Punch Man, all of these.
Baki's fucking gnarly, dude. So much blood.
That one's about.
I think Mike knows the one. That one's about martial arts.
Oh yes, that's right. I've heard about this.
It's old school. Old school.
So Baki, what else? Attack on Titans. Like all of these shows, my older brothers would just tell me, my older brother and his wife, they'd be like, you need to get on an anime. So I just kind of got into it from that. And then as of recently, within the last year, me and my lady started watching this together. And that became like, she started watching Attack on Titan and like watching it, leaving me out of it. I'm missing an episode. She's like, well, you missed a good one. You know what I mean? So a lot of it is based off just the people I care about around me also reinforcing just, you know, being into what you're into.
Right.
Do you think, because, you know, whenever I read about, it's so interesting because I started watching anime in Japan, but then when you bring that product over to America, because America, there's a lot, you know, there's different communities and ethnicities and stuff like that, it gets interpreted like a little bit differently. Like the element of race always comes into play. And like, that's not something Japanese people really think about. But like, I remember hearing about like, you know, like we had somebody on like a year ago who was like, oh yeah, Piccolo is black. And I'm like, what? Is that really? She was, I swear to God, her exact quote was Piccolo is black. He got a big dick. That's what she said. And I was like, she said that he's the guardian of the earth. He got a big dick is what she said.
That's hilarious. It's the mannerisms. So as Americans, because, you know, race is such a prevalent thing within our culture, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Especially for black people, we look for the black characters because we're not always represented.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Especially back then. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're like, who's close enough? Who's close enough?
Yes.
To kind of like, if you're like, this person got swag, that's the black character. Yeah, yeah.
You're looking like, I need a person of color. Green is a color. I'll take that.
Okay, He's Namekian.
Namekian. But like when you look at his demeanor, he kind of has like an aloof swag to him. He had it looked like a circle scarf around his neck.
He was cool.
He took care of a kid that wasn't his out of being a supportive father. Like,
If you
look at Piccolo, it looked like a Tyler Perry movie. Like it's a wholesome movie.
Tyler Perry is Piccolo. Tyler Perry presents Piccolo.
Yo, that's so funny.
He's got Piccolo. Good dad. That's the
Oh my God. Tyler, 100% Tyler Perry has the money to buy the Dragon Ball property and make all of the Dragon Balls. But just with black characters.
Piccolo's story. Yeah, man. So we look for that. You know, growing up, there wasn't that many. So Piccolo was like a black character. Because we didn't want to claim, what's the dude? Mr. Popo from Dragon Ball Z?
Yeah. Right.
He is clearly black, like visually black, but like wild racist in design for us. Like we didn't want to claim him.
Right. Are there any other
black
characters from anime that we didn't think of as being black characters?
Brock from Pokemon for sure is black.
Oh shit!
Really? Why? Because he's got like dark.
He's darker skin. He was like cool. He had, once again, that cool factor was in there. He had like seven brothers and sisters. Like if you would just If you were just going stereotypes, Brock is clearly, and whenever Brock would like get girls, he would like squint his eyes like that, like he would do this. He would be looking at the camera. Nurse Joy, I love you. You're so beautiful. He was like, if he wasn't black, he was definitely Puerto Rican. Like,
yay! Oh my god,
he's doing this. Hey, Ma was good.
Yeah, just like.
And then Misty, his white girlfriend, was like, stop it. You flirting with everybody. Ah, like that.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I need a podcast like this. Find the black characters.
Find the black
dude. That's a podcast, bro.
Who's black this episode?
Who's black this black episode?
Dude, we gotta do that pod. That's so fucking funny.
Who is black this episode? Damn, yeah, I love man. That.
Oh my god.
Yeah, but we just try to find ways to, you know, ultimately it doesn't always have to be like visually, but you right. just want to relate. To a character.
To somebody.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody told me, I think it was a comedian named Josh Homer. But when I first started, Josh Homer is a black comedian. And when I first started, like around 2014, 2015, I do some jokes about Asian representation. But back then, like, this is before Crazy Rich Asians and like Bo and Yang was on SNL. So like, a lot of people like didn't really understand what I was talking about. And I remember Josh Homer was like, yeah, like what you're joking about is like what black people joked about 20 years ago. You know, like, you know, like it could, but it's like it just happens in that order because black people were here first and they fought for it first and all that stuff, right? And mm-hmm. it's like, but even, you know, in the 90s and 2000s, yeah, sure, there were black people on TV, but a lot of it was like you were a basketball player or you're a fucking thug.
Yeah.
You couldn't be a guardian of the earth.
You couldn't be the guardian of the earth. You guys have really progressed a long way, you know, from basketball player to guardian of the earth. Yeah.
Dude, now we don't have to be like, now we have enough representation because I remember hearing Chris Rock talk about it. It's like the true sense of equality is when you get to suck equally. That's yes. real equality.
Yeah. Yes.
When you can have a black character that has no real point to the story. He's not a boyfriend that's really important. He's just like a guy.
Right.
But just playing a guy. He's not playing the black. Because that's
the
you know,
black guy. Right.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. Because at the end of the day, I don't think anybody really always wants to represent for the culture. Like,
of course.
Yeah.
I'm the black guy in this one movie that we have where I have to play the one. No, you just want to be able to be you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, if that is, you know, there's still a lot that the culture had, a lot of progression the culture still needs. But for sure, it's definitely better than it was in the past, for sure.
Yeah, man. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah. Recently, we were talking about K-pop too.
Yeah.
I like posted something about these two like old school like K-pop guys, and they're like older dudes, and they were bigger in like 2005 and back then, and now they're kind of like coming back, and they did a thing together, and then you were like, you like slid into my DMs, were like, what's this? What's going on? You know?
Yeah, bro. What's the names again? Do you remember?
Hold on here.
Wasn't it Seven?
No, it's not Rain. It's Rain and it's Rain and
yeah, Rain and something.
It's Rain and JYP.
Yes.
Yeah, and the song is called "Switch to Me," and it's and that's that. That whole thing is like that song is like pulls a lot from, and you were talking about that because you were like, oh, this really pulls from a lot of like black entertainment and all the dancing and like the glove and the outfits and stuff like that, and you were like wondering about that, and there's a lot to unpack there, right? I couldn't unpack it all in the DM conversation.
that's how I got on the podcast. Hey!
Yeah, because you were talking about it so much, and then I felt like I was your like, you know, it's like I felt a lot of pressure because I was like, I was taking your K-pop virginity, okay?
You were.
And I was like, I got to do this slow, you know? So I was like, okay, well, just you know, you can look into BTS, you can look into like Blackpink is really big. These are very, you know, accessible ones, and then you can get more and more into it. And there, of course, there's like a long history of it and all this stuff. But I thought it was cool that you were asking me all these questions about it.
It was because I watched it and was like, oh, this is Asian Bobby Brown.
Yes,
dope.
Exactly.
I didn't know they, because it's very interesting to me, especially as like I'm a straight up black American. So
yes.
I'm learning every time where I'm like, oh, okay. From being around different, also I'm a fan of music and musicians and stuff. So I learned that our culture, like, because in America, they tend to not tell you, or at least make you feel like how important black culture is around the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They kind of make it seem like it's just this singular thing, and it kind of belittle it in some ways. So I think it takes an extra step to realize how many people are genuinely influenced by the culture.
Huge.
You know what I mean?
That's absolutely a good point. Yeah.
It's
so when I saw that.
Yeah. I would say it's one of the great tricks of the white man that they packaged up all of black culture, rap, jazz, all sorts of stuff, and they exported it and made tons of money, and you know, it's all over the world, and that's like that's how America kind of stayed relevant for the last like 40-50 years or whatever.
Yeah, but they make you think like you can only perform in East New York, Brooklyn somewhere. Like that's the only place you're valued.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's you know, that was so interesting to see, because I saw a lot of Bobby Brown elements in the guy we were talking about, and I was like, oh, Bobby Brown was, that's, you know, that's late 80s, early 90s, when he was like at the height of his stardom. And I, now that I think about it, I remember watching a Bobby Brown video where he toured Japan, if I'm not mistaken. Like, he did a full fucking tour.
For sure.
And so it's like, you keep in mind, these people have grown up. They had kids who wanted to be artists and this, that, and the third. So that's like a major part of the culture there too. I was just impressed by it. Like, oh shit, this is dope. Look at him. Well, he took his shirt off in the rain. That's great.
Well, people forget too, is like K-pop. I mean, it's called K-pop, but I mean, all K-pop groups, at least a lot of them, in the 90s when it was starting to like become a thing, in the 2000s, and even now, always has hip-hop elements, R&B elements. Every you know, group was for a long time would always have at least one rapper, and always have at least one rapper, not more than that, but always one. And he wasn't always a great rapper, but there was always one guy who was rapping and that was his thing. And so 100% all that stuff just came from black culture, man. So you know what I'm saying? So I'm glad you got anime out of it. I don't know if that's a good exchange, but like, you know.
You know what, I think it's not a fair exchange, but it sure is good enough. It's better than the white man is giving us.
Oh man, but this makes sense, because like you told me once that, you know, obviously you've been in stand-up for a while, but for a long time you wanted to like be an R&B singer. That was your thing. Love R&B, and you really? I remember like one of the things we talked about is like, you watch like R&B concert DVDs, and you told me once about like the seduction thing. So like if you go to R&B concert, there's always a part in the concert where like there's a seduction part where the singer will like bring an audience member on stage and like dance on her or whatever it is. That's like a very specific R&B concert kind of thing. And I remember we kind of like talked about that, and I didn't realize you like wanted to be an R&B singer before a comedian. That's like a hilarious.
Were you a big singer?
Ambition.
Are you a big singer?
So here's what I was in chorus. I sung baritone for a while, which is just deep ass voice. That's all that is. So within that, I always admired musicians. Like, I'm a comedian by all stances, but in terms of the people who I like looked at as artists, who I was like, I want to be like that, it was always musicians. Big fan. I talk about it on like every other podcast, is I'm a big Usher fan. I grew up watching like Janet Jackson, because I think I showed Fumi a Janet Jackson video of her seducing a dude chained to like a chair.
I went to a Janet Jackson concert when I was in college, and then she did the whole thing. And she did that. It was awesome. Yeah. The
like
whole thing.
Dude around,
she gets an audience member and like gets him up on there, and it's crazy.
Yeah, and that shit just always looked so fucking, like, it just looked like the full experience of a show, you know what I mean? So early on, like, some of my first gigs in general were hosting music events, like, you know, really? So a lot of my fans are musicians. My first hosting gig ever was hosting a music event, to where I would just do everything I saw R&B singers do. So I remember I was hosting, and I took my shirt off.
How did that go? You're skinny as hell. You're skinny as hell, bro.
Bro, you can't fucking tell me in my head. Like, if you look at anything I do everything R&B singers do but sing. I do everything else. I'm dancing in the rain, taking my shirt off. I don't give a fuck that I'm skinny. It doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't, because I've seen enough varieties of artists to realize you actually don't have to have anything. You don't need abs, really.
Right. No.
Because like Bobby Brown didn't have abs back in the day. Like, he was a very skinny. He just he went hard. He just committed to it. Like commit, like in stand up when they say commit to the bit. Some R&B singer, if you don't got abs, you just gotta go hard with the act out. You gotta do a really good act out.
Yeah.
So that's just what I would do. So I'd be hosting. There'd be no reason for me to take my shirt off. I'm like, you know what, guys? Like,
there's no reason.
I'm trying to imagine you doing a comedy show and you bring up a one audience member to do jokes to. You know, just chain that person and then take your shirt off and just be like, oh, hey man, you fine? You what's going on, huh? What about airport? All right, airport food. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? I grew up in Brooklyn. I don't know if y'all did.
my god. But every time I hang out with you, we always get Hennessy, of course. We always get Hennessy. And I have an interesting perspective with Hennessy because when I think of Hennessy, I think of you and Mike. Because Hennessy.
Yeah,
so, because Hennessy obviously is, you know, if we're going by stereotypes, big thing in black communities. Also, a really big thing in Vietnamese communities, specifically.
Hilarious.
And I just.
We have so much in common. Yeah. let me tell you all the things we have in common, okay? The anime, I'm not as into anime, but I used to love anime. Poetry, write poetry, God.
Yeah.
I didn't know it. I wish I was more into the creative thing. I didn't think of that of being a creative person in high school. But then Hennessy. It's all about the Hennessy. So,
dude, if I put on my glasses, we'll become Two Punch Man. We'll just fuse together, bro. I didn't know about the Vietnamese people liking Hennessy, which is crazy because.
Yeah.
One of my favorite memories of Fumi when I first started drinking, because I, you know, it's an old stand-up bit I used to say. I wasn't a fan of Hennessy because I thought that's the only thing black people could drink. And then I found out about white wine. I loved it because when I met Fumi, like I knew it for a little while, but when I started drinking, I would look at every comic and see what they would drink. Like, all right, this person. Fumi, we were at Tribeca Comedy Club, man. And he was being so fucking cool and pulled up with a big glass of rosé, swirling it. Like,
that is extremely Fumi energy right there. Just rosé. You know,
yeah, just rosé in a fucking blazer. And I didn't know what rosé was at the time.
I didn't know what
rosé. Sounds fancy.
It does sound fancy.
Like when you hear rosé, you'd be like, "Oh, that's fucking fancy." He's like, "I'm like, what you drinking, Fumi? Rosé." And for like a year, I bought rosé because I thought that was like the money thing to buy, like because of Fumi.
Oh my god, that's funny.
So you're a big Hennessy, are you not into Hennessy, are you into white wine now?
No, so I'm genuinely more of a wine drinker, like I prefer wine. So Hennessy was just always, it was the liquor everybody around me drunk, like all my friends, it was like Hennessy and Bacardi. That was like my aunties, that's what people drunk, that's the liquor. I didn't know about the varieties of other shit, like I don't have to drink toxic liquor, I'm good.
So Vietnamese people, we like Hennessy. We got it from colonialism, and we got it.
Like the French or something?
Yeah, who colonized Vietnam and bought Hennessy? Who the
French?
Did that?
The French for sure.
They brought Hennessy.
French people bought Hennessy.
How the fuck else would we get Hennessy? Do you think we got it from the Cambodians? Where do you think we got Hennessy from? It's fucking French.
So Pepe Le Pew pulled up with Hennessy?
100%. We got it from the French. So anything that's French, we got baguettes, and that's why we eat cheese, and we drink coffee, and we have Hennessy because of all the French shit. So Vietnamese people, we got our thing is. We'll have it at a wedding. This is a little bit less now in the not modern, but younger people. But Vietnamese people, the thing is to have it at a wedding, and everybody at every table has one bottle. You get one of these and a Sprite, and that's the Vietnamese move. The Vietnamese wedding is like that, and you take shots of it. You don't like sip it. You pour it and you do shots of Hennessy.
At a Vietnamese wedding, y'all take shots of Hennessy and Sprite?
You know what we need to do? I'm going to take a new podcast. We're going to have a new podcast. It's called Alex Babbitt Goes to a Vietnamese Wedding. and we're gonna, I'm gonna take you, and then you're gonna take me to, I don't know what you guys do, a black R&B show. Yes, there we go. And I'll be walking around.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Yo, Alex took me to a black cookout over the summer, and I made a huge mistake of bringing White Claw. Yeah. And I made a fool out of myself.
He did.
That's a hate crime. That's a hate crime.
He pulled up to my fucking birthday with White Claw. Everybody whispered to, I was drinking. Everybody was like, who the fuck bought the White Claw? And he kept leaning in. Was this okay?
I was going to bring rosé.
Yo, dude, that shit was so funny, man.
Alex, I don't want to make the same mistake. What should I bring if I get to go to one of these?
To a cookout, man. You know what? In all honesty, if you just bring yourself, because if it's all black people, it's exciting. They like, what the fuck? Wow, yeah. You know what? I don't want to fuck up is soju or sake? Which one am I thinking of?
Sake is a Japanese rice wine. Soju is similar. It's very similar. It's also rice wine, but it's Korean.
Bring one of those.
Yeah.
Bring one of those. Okay. Yeah. Bring that, because I fuck with them shits hard, but I don't know where to get them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so it's hard to find. It is hard.
Yeah,
it is. It's
real.
Weird to find. Yeah, yeah. I get that. I feel that. God, that is so funny. But I mean, you know, Fumi also brought himself, which is also White Claw. So that's, you know. That's
he bought himself. And here's what: every time Fumi comes like to an event that I have or something, he always can also leave with girls. Like, it's so crazy how many girls like Fumi when he comes to my events. It blows my mind every time.
He's got that Pokemon trainer energy. Okay,
what the Pokemon energy.
He's squinting his eyes. You know, he's like, ugh.
That's so funny.
Yeah, man. So we've been talking about it before, and it's been tricky to talk about because it is not funny. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, Asian hate crime, like hate crimes against Asian people. You know, according to some stats, it's gone up like whatever, 1,000%, 2,000%, something like that. And there was a really interesting article. It was by J. Caspian Kang, who's a great writer, and it was in the New York Times. And I want to find the actual title of it. Hold on here. I want to make sure that we're referencing it. So sorry. Mm-hmm. Hold on here. I got to find it. here we go. So it's in New York Times. It was out, I think, this week. And it's an opinion piece. And it says, we need to put a name to this violence. And sort of like the subhead is, the recent attacks on Asian Americans have unearthed the contradictions and questions beneath America's impoverished understanding of race. To solve the problem, we must first learn how to talk about it. And he has this really good line in there, because there's so many things that you see in the news, and it's like an elderly Asian person being attacked, and a lot of times it's like a black person who is like is the one doing the perpetrating. And he has this really good thing here where it says, there are plenty of ways to describe discrimination at the hands of white people: white supremacy, microaggressions, the bamboo ceiling, Orientalism. What doesn't exist now is a language to discuss what happens when the attackers caught on video happen to be black. And he kind of talks about I think this is such an interesting idea, because you need to have language in order to do something, in order to like crystallize an idea. So for example, you know, Karen, right? That's shorthand now for when a white woman, you know, abuses her privilege and is like oppressing someone. That's like a fast way to do it, because then all of a sudden you can just say Karen and you get there right away. But there isn't a way to talk about the relationship between, I think, for Asian people in the general milieu of racism, but then also Asian and black. There's not a lot of like discussion about that. J. Caspian Kang also talks about how this was something that happened with the Rodney King riots in 1992. Well, you know, there was this thing and people didn't know how to talk about it, and it's more complicated than Asian people and black people don't get along. We have a lot in common. We got Hennessy, okay? We got anime, okay? But we don't have a way to talk about it. And I was trying to write a joke about it because we get so much of our shit, we get so much language from pop culture, right? And what we want is for things to be like Rush Hour, okay? And right now, everything is a little bit more like Romeo Must Die, okay? And we don't like that. So it's okay. It's tricky, but I wanted to hear thank you for buttoning up your shirt and putting on glasses.
Right? Yo, that's how you know I'm a fan of R&B. I did a costume change in the middle of the podcast.
Act 2.
I'm surprised. No, hold on here. I'm surprised you didn't just take your shirt off. You're we're going to talk about racism and take my shirt off here. Taking off his shirt.
Yeah, man. These are. I want to use these my words carefully because this is kind.
And
of
we don't expect you to represent any community.
And we didn't bring all black people, Alex.
No. And we don't represent all Asian people or anything like that. It's just that you know this thing is out there, and I think there's a lot of discussions about it, but people haven't really been talking about this specific thing head on.
Yeah.
And we just thought it might be interesting for comics to talk about it.
Yeah. No. I'm with. Trust me. I never am gonna represent all of anybody because I ain't shit, man. I don't study enough. Hearing this conflict, you know. Dang, it's touchy because I think we don't always have a way to communicate beef between minorities in general, you know, because overall, especially in American culture, we definitely do harbor on white man's evil, white people suck, blah 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 blah. But then there are some awkward moments that happen, and I think in our culture we've often like the negative half of like our Asian relationships, if you will, are like the racist Korean store owner who like watches you to keep you from stealing.
Yep.
And the hardship is, in some ways, the person might have been stealing. Like that's
right.
That's the difficult nuance of like crime.
Yes.
Is some habits that people develop are justified. Like, did something happened and that particular person was like, oh no, we have to figure this out. And there's a level of it that comes from, you know, the imagery too. You know what I mean? So I'm not specifically talking about the woman who got beat up. Like, that's horrible, man. Like, but that's like a shitty person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I really want, you know, if I could genuinely, and we'll joke and shit or whatever, but if I could genuinely have it my way, I want it to get beyond it always being an Asian beef when someone gets fucked up or a black beef when someone gets fucked up.
Yes.
It might have been for that reason, and hate crimes are goofy either way because they're fucking ridiculous. It's like when, what did Trump call coronavirus at first? The Kung Flu? Like, that's fucking that's stupid. That's really dumb. And anybody who looks at an Asian person and they say, you know who bought the fucking coronavirus here? Like, that's ridiculous. You know what I mean? But I don't like that overall. You know, like you said, we have a lot of common factors between us. And if you're a criminal, just be a criminal. Stop blaming your culture for
you. Just be criminals.
Yeah, just say I like beating people up. I'm fine with that. Don't say I did it on behalf of the black community. I did it for my fucking people up.
Right. Yeah, you're a piece of shit on your own. You know that's
When have you ever like what point in your life is an old Asian woman making you so scared that you gotta beat this lady? What happened? That's fucking, and vice versa, an old person, if you beat up a person that's like 65 and up, you gotta be horrible, because what happened to get you to fucking do that? What 85 year old with a bad hip made you nervous? Like, oh, gotta kill them before they get me. That's fucking stupid.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
What I mean?
Yeah, I always think about that too, how it's always like older people getting attacked, and meanwhile, like all the Asian male dorks like myself who've been training for years wanting to be attacked. I'm like, come on, man. I'm a blue belt, okay? I'm a blue belt, all right? Bring it.
Fucking Ip Man over here. He's ready for anything.
Come on, all right? I'm One Punch Man.
Yeah, you know Wing Chun. You know what's good.
Yeah, exactly. Okay? Come on. That's what's up. I get it. Fumi, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I think, but you know, it's also important to remember, like, the part that sucks is, to Alex's point, even if that black guy was like, I did this because I'm an asshole and I'm a criminal in this country, and it goes both ways. It's not just with black people. This happens with Hispanic people and Asian people. Like, you can say that, but America won't allow you to detach yourself from your racial identity, right? So it's always race. And you know, it's like, this is like the weird thing is a lot of white people in America are like, why is it always about race? Well, you fucking made it about race. Yeah. You make it about race. You know, that guy, like, we don't wake up every morning and think like, oh, I'm so Japanese today. Like, I never think that. No. But like, we walk outside and then people do things that make you feel like you're less than, or, mm-hmm. you know, make you, mm-hmm. remind you that you're not white, right? Or whatever. Yeah. And so that's what's hard about it is because, yes, I think, you know, you were saying earlier about Chris Rock, right? Mm-hmm. True equality is when you can just suck and no one cares that you suck.
Yeah.
Right? Well, right now, maybe in comedy that's changing a little bit, but like in the real world, like with real violence and shit, it hasn't really changed. You know, that guy sucks, but it's because, according to the media, he's black. You know? And I think that's sort of the, it's not a very funny point, but it's hard. I don't have the answer.
That's sort of the thing. I think we've all been kind of struggling with it, you know, mm-hmm. whatever, for years about this shit. And it's hard to joke about because we don't even have the words for it. Right, we don't have the way to talk about it. You know, if you were writing a joke, you could easily write jokes about, you know, about Karens, and you can write all these jokes about white people, this and that, because, you know, it's almost like, you know, Fumi, we used to think that it's hard to be an Asian comedian because you have to explain to people first what it's like to be Asian before you can get to the joke. You have to kind of do some educating. And I think, too, mm-hmm. with this, like, the way that the different races interact with each other, you know, whether it's Asian and black, and then also Latino and black, and then, you know, Asians and whites, and like, there's so little conversation around it that it's hard to make jokes because we don't even have the words first, like the regular words to do it, mm-hmm. and we just have all these other things, and that's why, you know, I think it's important just to talk about it, and then to, you know, talk about all. I mean, this conversation we've had for the last hour is probably the most in depth as far as like how much goofiness we all have, right, together, you know?
Yeah. And I think,
yeah,
hearing your point, bro, I think you got to get to the subtle nuances of, you know, most cultures. And then you can get past a lot of the bullshit. Most cultures just care about providing. They have their whatever, like, countries feelings towards certain things are that you're trying to evolve past. Like, it's all pretty much the same shit, but a lot of people don't take the time, or you come from a family who isn't, like, I guess, liberal in their thinking, you know what I mean? So they don't go to other cultures. Like, I grew up with a dad, like, my uncle's white, like, one of my uncles is white, two of my aunts is white, you know what I mean? It's like, whatever. I don't look at them and say, that's my white uncle. It's just no, that's my Uncle John. He's cool because I know him as a person. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I don't care. Like, there's some things that are different because of his background. But even so, it's like, whatever, man. You know, that doesn't really matter. So, like, I think more people just need to talk. That's it.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. I think needing to talk and finding those things, like you said, like that commonality, I think it's mm-hmm. going to be... I think if we're out there in the streets, it's hard to beat up someone else if you know they're also into Naruto. It's hard to do that. Okay?
All right. You're having a Naruto battle. If you pulling up with jutsu.
Yes.
Then it's like training. You're just training.
You're just training. That's different. That's not a hate crime. Okay, now you're just training. Okay, that's different.
Yes. Yeah. So our solution is everybody needs to wear Naruto bands.
Everybody wears Naruto bands.
And make sure you wear the one that says ninja and not the different villages, because that's going to create more
tension. We
tribalism.
Don't want that, okay? Then practice jutsus. Exactly.
It's like, oh, you're from the same village? I'm going to fuck you up. We're not doing that. We're doing the United Ninja Alliance.
Bitch.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
Hey, Alex, this was so fun. Yes. Thank you so much for doing the podcast, man.
No problem. Once again, thank y'all for having me. I genuinely was excited to do this one, so I appreciate you guys.
Where can our fans find you, and what are you up to? Like, anything that you want to know about?
So, hey, anals all over the world. Oh, I just like saying that. That's real fun. My name is Alex Babbitt. Once again, you can find me on all social media platforms, from TikTok to Instagram, Facebook, all of that, as Mr. Babbitt. That's MR.BABBITT. When it comes to personal projects that I'm working on at the moment, I'm super excited about a music showcase that I... I have that is streaming via Zoom and at the moment, but it also streams on multiple different platforms. It's called Fresh Face Friday. On Fridays, we showcase different musicians, singers, rappers, poets, whatever, from around the New York City area. And because we do it online, we can also get people from outside of the state to perform, you know what I mean? So it's just a great all-around show. And I have my second studio comedy album, which, Fumi, you came to the recording for, which will be coming out later this month. So I'm very excited. But I know the title. The title is called 9421, as paying homage to a big Usher album that I like.
Wow. I was gonna say, I was like, that's like an Usher thing. Okay.
Yeah. His was 8701. Yeah. So 9421 is the year I was born. The year it's coming out. Yeah. So I'm just super excited about that project. And Fresh Face Friday, you can follow that Instagram page and my own personal Instagram page. So yeah, I'd love to meet you guys.
Oh my gosh, please check that out. That sounds absolutely incredible. No promises or whether or not Alex will keep a shirt on, but that's part of the fun.
It's off.
Okay. As always, you can find us on all the social media platforms at Asian.AsianPod. I'm also on there at TheFumiAbe. That's TheFumiAbe.
And you can find me on Instagram at NicePantsBro.
Please check out our stand-up comedy show that we do on Zoom. The next one will be March 19th, and the one after that is April 2nd, and the one after that is April 16th. Just go to asian.asianpod.com for free tickets. If you're an iTunes listener or Apple Podcast listener, please don't forget to leave a 5-star review. Just do it on your phones. It's real quick. And join our Patreon for bonus content. That's patreon.com/asian.asianpod. I think that's it. Alex, this was super fun. Thank you guys so much. And Anals, we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye. Peace.